are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, Red Army. This is your boy Case. Let's get our sponsors in. This is brought to you by Balloran, Manukian, and Shagidian. God, I've destroyed his last name. BMS is they call. Balloran Manukian, BMS, finest law firm in Southern California with a 97% success rate. They do a personal injury, wrongful firing, wrongful death. That's their specialties. They do some business stuff. Just don't kill, man. Even if you get pulled over and the popo is tripping on you, they will represent you, as they told me today. If I get in that situation, we got you. So I felt comfortable about that. You can call them at 747-444-444 in the beautiful city of Sherman Oaks, California. Ask for Ashat, Vahe, Hike, Ani, Eddie, no, David, and Shushan, with a full staff of paralegals ready there to help you. Call them for your free estimate or your free, what's the word? I always go to you.
Estimate.
You know, you look like a dance hall don every time I look at you. 747-444-4444. Everybody, bring everybody in.
The fellas.
This is a beautiful staff. This is a beautiful collection of stateside Reds. I got Mikey in Atlanta. We got, oh my God, turn your phone off, Casey. Gal. Bandito here in Los Angeles. Patch representing Los Angeles. Jeremy in studio looking like
Jeremy?
Looking like cheese.
Looking like cheese.
Apparently Jeremy's looking like
cheese.
Cheese.
And I'm happy to be here with you guys.
What's up?
It's a calmer week. I think we can all talk a little bit easier right now.
You have a week off, you know?
We have a week off. I think my last scouser got at me today. I had a coworker who hadn't seen me. He got at me, and he said, I don't need to say nothing. I said, please don't. There's a lot still going on in the world of Manchester United. There's, you know, just little rumblings about Erik ten Hag and Ineos. If they're not seeing eye to eye, we got some new recruitments on the horizon. What else was on that list? Jerm, tell me what else is on that list. I'm sorry. Let me...
Tactics.
Midfield madness, player rotation, and what is a populous stadium?
What is a populous stadium? Populous will be building our stadium. We'll talk about that towards the end of the day. Mikey, I wasn't asking you this. Did Populous build that stadium in Atlanta? I think they built that Mercedes. That real nice one they got.
I'm not sure. I got a list of stuff they built, though.
Okay. And I'm going to need you to read that list, because there's one in India, because I cannot say. And I'm glad that you have a list. So let's get into it. Well, first of all, let's do a round table. Mikey, how are you feeling today?
Can you say the name of our sponsor again?
Don't do this. BMS. Balloran and Manukian.
Tyreek Hill, hit up BMS, man. They got you. They're going to get you right. 97% success rate. You go ahead and hit them up, brother.
I think his agent got him, though. His agent made a very important call. It's all speculation. And I know if I say who it is, Mikey's going to say it's speculation. But his agent... go ahead, Mike.
BMS, we need you. We need you right now. Come on down.
He shouldn't have been calling Drew, huh? He should be calling Balloran and Manukian. Balloran and Manukian.
Man, Drew called the police chief to come settle it out.
He said, bro, we got a game at 3:30. What you doing?
But anyway... let's get into this. Mike,
but
how
I'm
are
good.
You feeling
Thank
today?
Thank you for asking.
It's good. All right.
Bandito. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm lovely. The word you're looking for is consultation. Thank you. Quote estimate consultation.
Estimate. Did I get the card?
Come on. Our sponsors are taking care of us. Let's take care of them.
Thank you. Yeah. And this is why I need you gentlemen, because you know I suffer from several
brain traumas.
And I've destroyed
CTE.
Several brain cells. And I also think my shit don't stink. Patch.
Yo.
Mr. World Famous. I need a part. Give him a script and watch him work. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, fellas. I'm good. I just did some thespian stuff, as Mikey likes to say. I just put a little audition on tape, so I'm fresh off that, so feeling good.
That's
amazing. I saw something you did recently. It was on X Videos.
Oh, wow.
I was like, whoa.
No, that's Fisher. That's Matthew Fisher.
Amazing performance. Amazing performance.
That's Matthew Fisher.
I had bills, you know what I mean?
Oh man,
my studio.
Shit. I'm glad the heat wave is over. I don't know about your
is
side
it
of
over?
Town. I don't know about your side of town, but on my side of town, it was 75 today. Shit was back to normal. I was loving
Damn,
life.
75.
This is good. Lovely.
I was loving life. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
75 is beautiful.
Good weather and no Manchester United stress. It was a good day.
No Manchester United stress at all. Germ.
I'm
back
doing
from
good.
This beautiful trip.
Yeah, man. It's good to kind of get away from all the noise that was going around.
It was a good time.
Yeah, I picked a good time. I'm like, boy, am I glad to be away from the noise. Currently, I'm still sitting here watching Mexico and Canada still 0-0. I love to suffer, not just with United, but with my next Mexico national team as well. So
glutton for punishment.
Yep, exactly.
I have put myself in a corner with some of my boys because I've been saying Canada is the best.
No.
Oh, God.
Canada is the best CONCACAF team.
I said Canada is the best CONCACAF team. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. I'm just concerned about you in the corner with your boys.
Yeah. That's hey, yo. Pause. That's a pause for concern.
I put myself in the corner with some of my boys.
Yeah.
You can't make this up.
Yeah. Hey, don't let Snatcher hear you say that.
Don't let Fisher hear me say that. Yeah, so I put myself in a corner. Sinatra is – let me not even finish that sentence. And I've said that I thought Canada is currently the best CONCACAF team. Some people disagree. And if Mexico beats them, I think someone's going to get at me later in the chat.
That's like being the tallest midget.
Oh, my God.
Listen, if that is your title, that's your title. And hold on to it. So let's talk about Erik ten Hag and Ineos. A lot going on. Well, not a lot going on. A lot of speculation. Rumors came out that Ineos wants to see a playing style. They just want to see us play better. They want to see Erik ten Hag. They don't really. This is according to the Manchester Muppeteers. They just want to see a good football, a style that relates to long-term success. They don't care who plays. Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure there's progress and he gets it right. There's rumors coming out that Erik ten Hag was offered a new contract and he turned it down because the terms are not what he wants to be. Because as we know, they did was extend his contract. He didn't sign a new contract. So do you guys feel, and I know this is a lot of speculation, do you think there could possibly, I'm going to speak to Mandito first. Do you think it's possibly they're not seeing eye to eye on something, or is it just a wait and see type thing that's going on with the club and Erik ten Hag?
I think this is all rubbish. I think obviously he's under pressure. We know that.
Yeah.
There's a run of games, probably, which to the next international break. But there's a good run of games in the next 3 weeks. Progress for me is in the league, going up the table and moving up, not necessarily the cups. That's what we want to see. There's a lot of people talking that Ineos has a structure. Now that they have a structure in, they want to see Ten Hag not be as hard-headed and stubborn as he was in the past.
Yeah.
Not worrying about, you know, what Marcus Rashford did 2 years ago, not worrying about how much Anthony cost to come in. and just play people on form, be a little more pragmatic and not so rigid to, you know, defensive styles and that kind of thing. So I mean, I can see that. I can see that that's their job. You know, it's to have that input, and hopefully Eric Ten Hag and his coaching staff take that advice.
Anybody want to jump in?
I agree with Bandino in terms of it's all speculation. I'm not buying it. However, if I am Ineos, or if Ineos is feeling the way I'm feeling, we feel like we're watching this man try to turn the Titanic around. And it's obviously going to be a process, but it's just like, yo, for the little bit of turns that we want, if you're like going to turn like a quarter turn every game, like, I feel like we're looking for like some little improvements in the style of play. And for the last two games, we didn't see it, and we looked terrible. And this is like carrying over from the previous season with this whole no style of play and this rubbish ball. It's gotten a lot better, I'll give you that. It looks like, especially, I thought we looked good in preseason for sure. But if Ineos is like me, we're just like, yo, I just want to see more results. Like, I feel like I'm not seeing anything. It feels like we're stuck in the mud. Your players don't seem to understand what you want from them. I'm not sure. But when 11 people are out there, they don't look cohesive at all. Like, we just watched these men, or at least, I don't know who watched international games, but like, I was like, these guys don't train together all the time. They don't play together all the time. So why is international break such a vibe? Why does it seem so seamless to just like slot back into your national team? And why doesn't that translate when you come to play for Manchester United?
It's hard to judge on an international break because international break is not as intense. The coaching is not as intense because you don't have time. And I get it because a lot of people have come out and said, oh, everybody looks sharp when they leave us and they come together with us. I mean, it's better coaching in the Prem than you're going to find an international break. So I guess that's, to your argument, that's what it could be. I mean, I did struggle with that too. Like, why are they don't look so sharp? Mikey, this next stretch of games and our playing. Well, first of all, do you guys, Mikey, do you see a playing style?
And yeah, I see what Ten Hag's trying to do. I wouldn't necessarily. I see a playing attempt. I see what they're trying to attempt to do. We want to play out the back. Okay, the midfield, I'm not too sure about, because there's in stages where we're kind of bunched, and there's times where we're, like, spaced out, and we're just too spaced out. And the times we're spaced out is where we get caught out, or, like, we're trying to play out the back, keep possession, press at time, right? But I'm not too sure what the hell we're doing up front, because there's times when we were putting what's his name, Xerxes off to play this little 9.5 on the wing type thing that listen, the guy's a 9. He's not a winger. He doesn't need to play on the wing. I'm not a fan of that. But there's times where we got two guys up top playing the false 9, or then we're doing the 3-1-6 thing. So I know we want to have possession. We want to pull teams onto us. We want to play out the back. And also, there's times where he's telling Onana to launch forward, to hit man, to get to the target man, because there's times where you can get in behind teams that are playing a high line, and Onana's perfect for that. But it's like, we don't nail down that number 9 position to catch guys sleeping on that top. It's like, it doesn't really make sense to do. But and Onana's distribution has not really been helping how they've been playing. So there's times where I see what he's trying to do, and there's times I'm like, what are we doing here in this? Because there's teams that are, every team's going to play is different.
I like what you said, Casey, a couple weeks ago, and it's kind of piggybacks onto what Mike is talking about. We get a style of play, how we want to build, how we want to defend, but there's 11 professional footballers wearing a different color shirt whose job is to put us off of that.
Yeah.
And it seems like they put us off of that too easily.
Patch, Ineos allegedly seems to be frustrated or concerned with their playing style. Do you see their frustration? I mean, I know I sit next to you at the in the pub a lot, and I hear you speak. There is definite frustration. I mean, I know you're a knowledgeable football watcher, or, you know, you play the game. Is it fair to say that Ineos has some concerns and could have some concerns moving forward?
Yeah, 100%. I think we all have concerns. But I also think that, you know, this is the first season in a long time where we have proper footballing heads running the show. We have a proper structure. We have men that know what they're doing up top. And some people don't like to hear this phrase. It's going to take time for all of that shit to meld and adjust and work in with each other, and players included. So the frustration is valid 100%, but also it's growing pains because we're now working with a brand new system. And you know, Ineos did some great business in the summer. And from what I hear, they're already planning for business next summer. Mm-hmm. So they're doing all the right things. But again, we brought in a handful of new players this summer that now need to gel into the current squad. And it's going to take time for everyone to adjust. So again, frustrations, concerns, all valid. But I also would pose the question, and maybe this question is null and void now, but, and maybe it's just been beaten to death. But, you know, again, going back to when we hired Ferguson, it took him 4 years before he won anything. People were calling for his head. So should the new standard be give him 4 years and see what he does? And if we're still, and if the same concerns, the same frustrations, the same, you know, shit like we're seeing, like we saw against Liverpool, is happening far too often, then is it time to say, okay, Eric, you've had your shot, appreciate you, but, you know, the run is over. I'm a patient guy, right? But
Sir Jim ain't, he ain't got much time left. Forgive me, Sir Jim.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, we all want to see the club get back to winning ways. And like Bandito said, that's not just cup runs. That's progressing in the league. And last year we finished eighth in the league. This year, if we finish top four, that's a positive progression. Is that where United should be? Of course not. We should be competing for the league. But is that realistic? I don't know. Especially when City, Liverpool, even fucking Arsenal and Villa are still pretty far ahead of us. But again, they had good structure, and now we finally have good structure. Now we can really start to go for a run. So,
Jerm, jump in there.
Same. I mean, we just got to realize this is a marathon, not a sprint, right? But at the same time, we live in such a microwave mentality that we want things to get done right off the bat, and things that we want to last kind of have to marinate and take some time for it to kind of grow. But understandably so, we've been seeing this for so long that we want to see, once we already see these signings, we want to see that validation. Okay, this new structure, these new executives have got an actual squad out there. Why aren't results being set out, right? I think we just need a few more games. I'm with everyone. I'm assuming I'm with everyone, right? Giving Eric Ten Hag some time still to kind of get these boys in line. Ugarte's going to come in there, be in the midfield, you know, do what he has to do, right? And then get Xerxes up there. Rasmus is still injured, right? So just getting everyone just healthy and 100%. And once we see all that gel together, I mean, I think you guys said it last week, right? Around maybe like Christmas time or November. If we are still not seeing any progression, then that's when I will start kind of just not saying out, but like, okay, scratching my head a little bit and starting to wonder what's the next move for the Ineos.
Mikey, yeah, go ahead.
Leeway. Sorry, Kate. The leeway, this is not the right word, but consideration has a cutoff point. Like you said, you know, you get time, players integrated into the squad, new structure, all that kind of stuff. But come November, December, January or something, we're still seeing performances like we did against Brighton and Liverpool. Then it's like, what the fuck? So there's a point. There's a cutoff point.
Something Mikey said yesterday on his show, which stuck in my head. Is that a pause?
No.
Just
if we lose to Southampton, shit will hit the fan. And I know you, everybody here basically said, we'll see in December. We'll see what goes on in November. I'm telling y'all right now.
If I may add something to that, just so you know, Erik ten Hag's record against newly promoted teams on the road.
What are you about to say?
No, he's got a good record.
Okay. All right.
If we beat Southampton, that'll be 7 wins against newly promoted team since he's taken over. So I'm just saying, he actually has a record, a little mini record to preserve right here. Like, don't shit the bed,
man. That might be the shittest record I've ever.
So you're calling it a win already. You're calling it a win this Saturday.
I'm just saying that is a shitty record.
But I'm looking at all you gentlemen right here. I'm calling a win.
I said 1-0 on Mikey's show when he asked for score predictions.
So, everybody was saying December. I feel like these next stretch of games are important.
They are. That's points right there.
Because I was saying to Jeremy in the pregame, if he has a terrible run right here, Ineos might be thinking December. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking about bringing in players to help the squad, they mm-hmm. might be, let's think about getting a coach. How do you guys feel about these next stretch of games for him? Go ahead, Mikey.
Listen, we don't have a divine – we're Manchester United, and we don't have a divine right to win any of these games. These guys have to show it. They have to show – they have to turn it around for the coach. I know that they feel the pressure as much as Ten Hag's feeling it. Now, Ten Hag is a guy that's not going to – he's going to pretend like it's nothing, it's whatever. But it's pressure filled. That might be – this game right here – unfortunately, it might be the most important game. These next few running games, every game's a playoff game now.
Mm-hmm.
Every game's a playoff game because if he loses, or it's not even losing, you can't drop points. You can't. You can't have 2 L's and then draw against Tottenham. You have to go in and beat Tottenham. You have to go in and beat Southampton. You have to go
Palace.
In. You have to beat Barnsley. You mm-hmm. have to beat these guys. Mm-hmm. So, like, There's little error for mistake because I'm telling you now, and for whatever reason, the internet makes a difference, right? It makes a difference.
And I hate that.
I hate it, but it makes a difference. We've seen it now. We've seen it. But we don't look good. It's even about looking good. We can't scrap a win at Southampton. It has to be a clear and concise victory, right? It has to be. Even like it can't be... Oh, 88th minute, we nick a goal because it tells. It also confirms still no style of play,
mm-hmm.
still no way to score goals, and are we going to get 56 or 58 goals? Where are they coming from? It's going to confirm all those things. So, yeah, these next few runner games, I would love to win, but I can really say that I'm not sure, bro. I don't know. I'm in my heart, win every game. 3-0, let's go. But trying to be logical – and not be as delusional? I don't know, bro.
Bandito, do you think Premier League games? I don't say should we just focus on Premier League and don't worry about the rest, but say if he struggles and does well in the Premier League matches, would that be good enough for us? Should that be good enough for us?
He's struggling in all other competitions.
No. Say he wins all his Premier League matches,
okay,
and we falter in Europa.
Hmm.
We need to rotate players. We got an early cup game. We've got 2 Europa League group games. So we've talked about these next 4 Premier League matches. We haven't named them. So it's Southampton this week. Haven't won a game. They're kind of like Burnley. They played really well in Championship. They played progressive. They like to possess the ball. They just don't have that last bit of quality. So, you're not going to just steamroll this team. You know, you've got to make your chances count. But it should be a game we would expect. This is a game that we can go ahead and win. Then we've got Palace, who embarrassed us at Selhurst Park. They're a mid-table team, but they've got some good players. We're probably going to talk about Eze, in a bit. They've got some good players. They're not going to make it easy. That's another tricky fixture. Then we have Spurs at home. We're not really sure how good Spurs are or how bad they are this year.
They're Spursy.
But you would think at home, lads, it's Spurs. You know, a team that's maybe gets two wins back to back, has their tail up, and they can do the business against Spurs. The one for me, Villa away. If we go there and get a point, you're kind of okay with that. They are a good side. But yeah, if we can get 10 points out of those four, I think that's a decent run.
Agreed.
And
you know, going back to what you said, Bandito, Palace always give us problems.
Always.
Every single time. And Southampton are going to make it incredibly difficult to break them down, and they're probably going to try to hit us on the counter.
And no, that's not how they play. That's not how they play at all. They're not like you would think this newly promoted. They're going to low block and let you have the – they're not. Think of how like Burnley came up and how they wanted to play when they came up. They even in the losses, they've had like 60, 70% possession. They want to keep the ball to keep you from scoring. And it's a matter of, are United going to disrupt what they want to do? And are they going to take their moments and punish them? Because where are the goals going to come for us, right? Go ahead, Mikey.
I'll say, just to maybe contest that, is that they get a goal up, they're gonna park the bus.
Yeah.
As they should.
Now they're playing with house money. So they get a goal up, they're not gonna go toe to toe with us for another, especially if it's early. They're not gonna score a goal in the first 30 minutes and then be like, all right, the rest we're just gonna they're not gonna come at us. They're gonna try to put men behind the ball and then try to hit us on a break when they can. Because they'll be happy to get a result. Either way it goes, a point for them is gold against us. And that's the problem. We haven't been able to break down these teams that will do things like this. So they're okay with playing that kind of ball and not going after us.
Boys,
get the early goal.
Where do our goals come from? Who gets our
that's
goals?
That's such a big question.
Rasmus.
Well, Rasmus will be back. Let's talk about who's coming back. We're going to have a full squad coming back from international break. You don't believe so?
How full? What kind of full?
Rasmus should be back.
He's not going to play a full 90.
But isn't that okay? You got Xerxes in there as a 9?
I don't know if Rasmus will be back yet.
Okay.
And if he is, he's not playing a full 90.
Shaw is still questionable.
Shaw's not.
I don't even think I have him.
I said Shaw's name. It looked like Mikey had a straight headache.
I
didn't see Rasmus get called for international duty.
No, he stayed back.
I know he was training by himself a week or two ago, but if he plays, he's going to come on in the 75th minute or something. I would imagine that Xerxes will start and come off at the 70 or 80th minute. And he got a goal for the Netherlands, but it was against Bosnia, but it's still a goal, so his confidence will be up, and he needs that after flubbing two sitters at Liverpool.
And so
I would bank on maybe Garnacho and Bruno.
Garnacho's playing brilliant right now, by the way.
Maybe I would say Garnacho, Bruno, Xerxes from one of them three, because we know Rashford hasn't really done fuck all.
Ahmad,
he's training though. He's training for MMA.
He hasn't done it much. Haven't you seen the videos? Yeah. That's the topic for later on.
So basically, my point was trying to say that we should have a good squad coming back. Ugarte.
Excited about
has
that.
To play. He you played 79 minutes the other night.
I was just reading. Well, yeah, he played really very well against Venezuela. He did his thing in the midfield. He also progressed passes like about 85%, right? And out of the six like progressive passes, three of them he connected. So he's looking good. He's looking good.
Before we get into recruits, let's talk about our midfield. It's a madness.
It is a madness.
I don't even want to quote Samuel Lockhurst because he's an idiot. But apparently, he has his locker room sources. There's something funky going on with Casemiro. I don't understand what's going on with Casemiro. There's like a divide between his people and Erik ten Hag, and it's unsettling our midfield. He's saying that Erik ten Hag is putting him in situations that's not bringing out his attributes. And yeah. Erik ten Hag is making him struggle. And yeah. He's putting blame on Erik ten Hag. Now, this is from his people, allegedly, and Samuel Lockhurst, who always seems he wants to tear the club down. I don't understand how this helps.
Doesn't.
Our midfield, I mean, some ways you say you want to agree with Casemiro because I don't understand giving him all the space to run around. He has no legs. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Ugarte get involved because his work rate is oh God, I almost said amazing, but I know everybody's waiting to say something.
No, that's
his work rate is special. Would you agree, Pash, that bringing Ugarte into this midfield is just going to open? I'm scared to talk.
Yeah, don't be scared now.
I mean, we all like to think so. I mean, we like to think that he was brought in for a reason to do just that. But then, you know, you wonder, and obviously, Kaby Mainoo had a fucking fantastic season last season, but he's still a young kid. You know, you can't expect him to carry the weight of the midfield on his shoulders, which is, to me, seems like what he's being asked to do, which is kind of unfair. So hopefully Ugarte coming in, and whether he swaps in for Casemiro or maybe he swaps in for Kaby and gives him a break. Either way, you know, we should see some more control in the midfield because we've been, I mean, how many times have we lost the midfield battle and it's fucking killing us? So that to me is one, aside from the lack of goals being scored, the lack of control in the midfield, you know, we're hoping we never replaced Michael Carrick. How long has it been? So maybe some of us are hoping that
he looked good in the Legends game, by the way.
What's that?
He looked good in the Legends game.
He looks good in the Legends game, Michael Carrick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fucking throw him on. Fuck it.
Who saw the Legends game?
No, but I, you know, maybe Ugarte, that's sort of the role he's being asked to fill. I don't know. I haven't seen much of Ugarte in terms of how he plays and his style and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's another midfielder that we desperately needed. So hopefully, you know, he can fill some sort of void.
I asked the question last week, is this a tactical issue or is it a player issue? Is it a personnel issue with our midfield?
I'd say it's personnel because, well, it's both. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, player-wise, we sold Scotty. Scotty would have come on against Liverpool, not Collier. And you know, Scotty's good for a goal or two. But, you know, I know. Some people don't rate Scotty. I thought he was a, you know, he was a man of the team. So I got a lot of respect for Scotty. Whether or not he was a Manchester United player is another question. But I got a lot of respect for him as a player. He always carried himself professionally. So, you know, we're hoping Ugarte is a, you know, Scotty on steroids in the sense that he just is capable of more things. So I'm excited to see what he does. Hopefully he'll get some minutes and we'll get to see.
Anybody want to speak on the midfield personnel or tactics?
It's a little bit, I'm kind of giving you the patch. It's a little bit of both because if you know your personnel, right? And if you know Casemiro has no legs and you see the midfield stretch out so much, is that tactical then? Is he telling him to stretch out that much? And as a Casemiro knowing himself that he doesn't have those legs, is he going to be telling Kaby, hey, we got to stay a little bit more narrow instead of being exposed? So in that case, you need a younger legs, and I'm assuming that's why they got Ugarte, right? Because he's going to be starting on that midfield. So come on,
Bandito, do you feel that, like, when I watch Casemiro, I don't feel like he has a veteran presence? Like, I mean, I don't see him dictating, like, you go in here, you do this, you do that. I just feel like he's so reactionary. I don't see that in Casemiro. And I don't want to say he has bad game awareness, But I just don't see that veteran calming influence in him because he looks rushed. Is that something that, because he's maybe being played out of position, he feels awkward and then he's just behaving wrong? Because I think Casemiro should be really like a captain out there. So I don't even know.
I think his leadership is there. Now, obviously, his timing and how much space he has to cover really throws off his that gives off that rashness and that, you know, why is he lunging at balls and stuff like that. But if you go back to what you first said about possibly what he's feeling, yeah, use your eyes. We're not using him in a way that's going to bring out his best attributes, and it's kind of setting the midfield up to fail. So yeah, bringing in Ugarte, his job is to win the ball back. He's not great at, you know, line breaking passes. Doesn't got that tight control like Cobby. He's not, you know, he doesn't have Hollywood passes like Bruno. He's going to get win the ball back. He's going to carry the ball. He's going to get the ball to someone who can play football. He does have a nice ping out, you know, to the wingers. So that's what I expect to see from him. And what I would like to see from the midfield, I want to see Bruno dropping a little further back. I don't know. I know he's got a great work rate and he can press very high, but when he's up, sometimes he's the furthest player up, and that really stretches out the midfield. And that really, that's a knock-on effect. It just really isolates Cobby, really isolates our six. So maybe that's a little tactical thing. And then the personnel thing with Ugarte.
All right. We didn't talk about Mount either.
He's hurt still.
Yeah, but he's
we talk about players that are available, and at the moment he's not. So.
He's not, yeah.
All right. When is he supposed to be back?
Let's move on.
Maybe next game.
All right, time. Let's get into recruiting. Ineos seems to be keeping it going. Seems like they're recruiting. Okay, go ahead.
So a report came out on MEN, Manchester Evening News, about targets for next summer.
Here we go.
They're naming names. They're talking about Eze from Palace, Branthwaite again from Everton, and they're talking about a replacement for Luke Shaw and maybe another midfielder. So
the replacements, as people think, Luke Shaw, who's a Lococo, Edie Nori, Robinson, Kirkes, and Dorbu?
Yeah, there's some players from the Premier League, like Robinson,
Fulham,
yeah. American Wolves. International. There's some Spanish players. So it looks like they are at the same mindset of Mikey and ready to move on from Luke Shaw.
And that's why Ten Hag should be concerned. Because they're not just recruiting players.
Mikey, is it a movement or moving on from Luke Shaw, or is just like our left back situation is horrible?
No, moving on.
I mean,
he's old.
Bro, if you can't play 60% of the season, I don't want you to be Bruno. Bruno is an anomaly.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Okay, you don't have many players in their career to miss, five games in 15 years or whatever the hell it was? Like, you don't have that, right? So I'm not asking you to be Bruno. And I understand that injuries also are like, you can't script those. They just happen. But it's been a consistent thing. So it's not personal with Luke Shaw. I think he's a good player, but the experiment's over. The experiment is over. I'm tired of having Luke Shaw's going to be fit. Like, look what he did for England. The guy shouldn't have went to England. He should have been spending his time resting, rehabbing, and getting back right to start for us. But he's just so hungry to go play for them, to play, two games? Play what? Play a whole game in total? Like, come on, man. Come on. I don't get it, but I understand that people – you know, this game is short, so you got to take what you can get. But now, look, you're gone again. We don't have you. And now the question, it just looms over your head. If he comes back and he plays 30 games, I'm happy. I'll take that. But I don't see it. I just don't see it.
Patch, jump in there.
Yeah, no, there's a couple people that I had on my personal list, I suppose,
nice.
That I think would be good. One of them is, and maybe they have gone to another club that I missed, or they signed contract extensions or whatever. But and I know this guy, I think, was being considered, Theo Hernandez. I think he's at PSG. He's one of the best left backs in the world. He has a good offensive threat. He does the overlapping runs. Alejandro Baldi, I think, is his last name, from Barcelona. He's a young, talented left back. He's good in possession. He has good attacking instincts. And he kind of mirrors Shaw's style of overlapping runs and crossing options, which is why, you know, him and Rashford always had a good link up, because they seemed like they were pretty in sync with the, and then, Purvis Estupiñan. Is he at Brighton?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
He's at Brighton.
But he's got a strong balance between defense and attack. Good crossing ability, and he has positional awareness, excuse me. And he's going to be more affordable. So, like, one of those three would be good. I don't know price tag wise what they're, or even if they're on the market. But I'm with Mikey. I kind of think the experiment with Luke Shaw is over. I love Luke Shaw when he's available. He's fantastic. When he's fit, he's great. But he's just not fit ever. Like, it's you know, him and Mount are having a competition for who can miss the most games. And you know, we just can't afford to not have That's a left crazy. Back. And we can't afford to play Delo out of position, even though he could do the job as a left back. He's not a left back. So we got to have people playing the right position. So I'm
Studio.
Studio,
what do you guys think about Eze? His buyout clause is 68 mil.
Pay it.
Well, yeah, I say pay it too. He's the right profile for the team. We've done such a good job this past year of our net spend that we can actually make some moves.
Does he? Let me just. Does he look like a United player? Does he pass the eyeball test?
That's a no for me.
So. I think so.
Wow,
I
mean, you got a no in here, wow. Bandito.
He's a squad player to me.
He's a squad
talk
player.
About talk about it. Why a no for you?
Just based on my fantasy experience with him.
No, that's real. That's real. That's real.
I get 2 points for like 6 weeks, and then he'll have a breakout game, and then he goes back to 2 and 1 points. I'm just like, you disappear too much. Like, I know he takes set pieces.
He's not a stat monster, right?
Right. He's not a stat monster, but I know he takes set pieces.
Playing for.
Agreed.
When he for me, he passes the eyeball test.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He only likes to play well against us.
He looks a baller.
And then he like disappears.
He's comfortable taking.
Did you hear what he said, Bandita?
And breaking down deep defenses, which has been a big problem for us, is breaking down deep defenses. And he's doing what Rashford seems to refuse to do, which is taking players on one-on-one. So for me,
but statistically, he's not to your liking.
He's not consistent enough.
Look, yesterday,
he only has big games against us.
On my show, I was like, United's going to have to break the bank with someone. I know that's not what Ineos is going to want to do. But I feel like every other top team has that one signing if they haven't amortized their team, right, to death. But everybody has that one guy that they spent 60 or 70 million that's up in the upper echelon, right? Now we have a guy that we paid, it was 83, and that was Antony. Can't do that again, right?
No.
Okay. But we've seen Eze. We've seen what he can do in real time. The guy for us last year to buy – was Elise.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That was the guy to buy. Yep. Okay, we missed
that's
that.
True.
Okay, that's
if you're going to get both of them.
On him, I would have been happy there. But the next guy to buy for whatever 60-some million, I would sleep well knowing we spent that, because I know we'll get the money back. I know we'll get it back in performance.
And he's Premier League proven.
Yes, I like the Premier League proven part for me, actually. There's a guy, though, and I thought – that he that plays for Napoli. I can't say his name. He plays on the wing.
Oh, you're talking about the dude from Georgia? Is that this happening?
Yeah.
From?
I like that dude.
Yeah. I seen him play a lot like a year before because I was watching a lot of Napoli games.
That's what I said last night. I said, he's that guy. Years old. And we should pay money, whatever he wants. Right?
I think you said 80 for him, right?
He's really good. He's a baller, and not just that. He gets after it. He runs. I mean, the games that I saw him last year. Creative, links up well with his number nine. He's a baller, man. He's a baller.
Yeah. I think the Rashford days are coming to the. If we don't start seeing something, especially come Christmas, I think we're going to start looking like we got to get a Rashford replacement.
Him and Ten Hag might be on the same boat. I don't see him leaving.
You don't see him leaving at all?
No, look at the wages he's on.
Yeah, and that's a great point.
Why leave?
MEFC Charlie said, glory, glory, my man. Yeah, did. MEFC Charlie said, another right back to United looking at.
Another right back.
Any other recruitment you guys want to talk about? I like that guy from Napoli, though. I forgot to bring him up. I think he's a baller. Yeah.
Not just that, but they're known for their fitness level there, too, so we don't got to worry about that.
Okay, let's get into this populous stadium thing real quick. I found this little article in Populous talking about them and Manchester United. It says here, this is their response to getting our contract. It says, for the past 30 years, Populous has designed stadiums that redefine the way we watch sports. Populous has left a mark all over the world, and I know Mikey has a list of stadiums, and how they set their sights on Manchester United Old Trafford. According to recent reports, Populous has recommended a complete demolition of the aging stadium and contracted a £2 billion masterpiece. This comes as no surprise, as they're known as to create a cultural asset rather than functional exercises, standing to no longer just be the end of themselves, becoming an entrance of urban regeneration. Part of Populous' goal is to turn these buildings and their decaying surroundings into a vibrant community. Part of Populous' goal is to turn the stadium and its area in places and shift. And has a no. I'll see.
You should have gave me the phone.
I'm looking at you the whole time. Oh my god! No longer just be at the end of all themselves, becoming an entrance this, and
we know the area. That was needs, a hard list. Investment.
Yeah,
and we don't just need a stadium. You know, we need something that works for the
need people, a community.
The community of Old Trafford.
Yeah,
yes.
As far as. You know, jobs, the infrastructure there. They kind of want to recreate what they have on the other side in the Salford Keys. You know, going match day, going to and from. So infrastructure around travel and you know, train travel and that type of thing. It can't just be this big, shiny stadium with beers that fill up from the bottom, right? So there's a lot of stakeholders. And we know that they have the task force. So Mayor of Manchester, Neville's on there. Ineos has their representation. So we know there's a lot of stakeholders and they all need to see something like this. So I think what the plan is going to be, they're going to play at Old Trafford whilst they're building the new ground, because then, you know, where do you go? You go to Altrincham City or something like that. So I'm telling people, I've been telling them, like, if you've got the dream and you have the means to go to Old Trafford, you're gonna have to do it in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Because if you want to see it in its current form, now I think it's gonna be scaled down 20,000-35,000. The 21s, the women's team, you know, keep the history, keep the Munich Tunnel, keep the trilogy, those types of things, and then you get your new shiny stadium that's going to bring revenue to the club. And you know, we want to be like, if we're going to say that we're the biggest club in the world, then you know, we're going to have a stadium to match that, like Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Facts.
I like it. I mean, at first, I know it's rough because there's a lot of history, but players retire, coaches retire. It's time to retire a stadium. And that's how I feel about it. I mean,
I know for the Batch Going fan, I mean, they've got, you know, you've gone there generations, and yeah. I get that. And those memories don't go away if the stadium goes away. So I wanted to say real quick, because I talked to an Arsenal fan, a Match Going Arsenal fan, and a Match Going West Ham fan. They've been, right, new stadiums. So Arsenal, they haven't really created what they had at Highbury, right? And a lot of people say, like, when they moved to Emirates, all the finance went to paying for the Emirates instead of getting in top quality players. Now, a West Ham fan, he said, they moved to this London stadium and they've won their first European trophy, right? So it's kind of about winning and getting in a stadium, creating and winning and building that. Winning, and that's what's going to create those new memories, right?
Mm-hmm. Patch, jump in there real quick.
Yeah, no, I was going to kind of tack on to what Bandito said is, you know, I know a lot of people's concerns with, you know, the potential demolition of Old Trafford, thinking, oh, the memories are going to go away. It's like, no, it's not. First of all, they change out the pitch at Old Trafford, so it's not the same pitch that, you know, George Best or, you know, Bobby Charlton or Dennis Law played on. You can take the Jimmy Murphy statue, the Sir Alex, the Trinity, and put that at the new so there will still be, you can keep the Munich tunnel, put that in the new stadium. You can transplant a lot of the super, you know, revered monuments, you know, artifacts, whatever you want to call them, into the new stadium. So it's, you know, you can still keep your history even if you move it to a new stadium. But you know, like I said, it can't just be about the new shiny stadium. It's got to be about also the surrounding community and stuff like that. So, you know, I and maybe I missed it. I haven't seen any sort of proposal. Maybe it's too early for them to have put something, you know, concrete together. But, you know, I think we'd all be maybe interested to see what they're proposing. But nice. I don't know. I'm not a
thanks
consistent Match Going fan, so I know it's, you know, it's going to be different for the people that go every week and stuff.
Nice.
With that note, I gotta end it, right? I just got a message from the boss.
That's our time for today.
Does it look like a win for everyone?
It has to be. No, it's going to be a win,
right?
3-0,
2-0,
4:30 a.m. O'Brien's Irish Pub, 23rd and Wiltshire.
I want to thank Mikey, Bandito, Patch, Germ. Cheese. This has been another one of those casual reds.
Check out Mikey too on Thursdays.
Yeah, please. United Fan Zone is amazing. Check it out. One love. We're in the alley.
You came back from vacay with a
those casual reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas. Only on LA Talk Radio.